Coming to you from the greatest city in the world, Columbus, Ohio, this is the Fifth Line Podcast.
Excellent. Absolutely excellent.
Prepare yourself to be serenaded by 30 minutes of poetic podcasting perfection.
Gentlemen, you have my curiosity. Now you have my attention.
With Jordan Mills, Matt Pfeffer, and TJ Nokar, let's get this show started.
I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that?
Welcome in to the Fifth Line Podcast. We're live here from Buffalo Wild Wings.
How many times are we going to say live when we're never actually live?
Well, we are physically live, but we're alive. You listen to it later.
You will listen to it right away tomorrow.
But we're here, Buffalo Wild Wings, here on the Ohio State University campus. I'm Jordan Mills, joined here by Matt Beaver, TJ Nokar. It's been a while since I've been on.
Yeah,
I think it's
you
been like two podcasts. I've
you
made
were too
a
busy adulting.
Yeah, so I was doing something.
All dressed up and spiffy and
oh, yeah, you guys were at the Cannon. I forgot about that.
Yeah, we were at the Cannonball, which was amazing.
Yes, that's what I heard. But we have a special guest joined with us today. We have Taylor from Beartooth Band. Taylor, welcome
Hello.
In, sir.
Nice to be here. It's great.
Big Jackets fan,
oh, absolutely.
Obviously. You know, I want all of our listeners to get to know, obviously, Beartooth, if they do not know who they are right now. So, you know, just give us kind of a history of the band. You guys are from Columbus.
Yep. Yes, sir. We're from Columbus. Started here in our singer's basement like 4 years ago almost. Just been doing it. You know, we played Rock on the Range last year. That was a pretty crazy moment nice. For us. The rest of the time, I mean, like, we live on the road, basically.
Yeah.
Like, we
the
put out our we put out our first album.
Do you guys travel in a van or a bus?
It depends on the tour.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
those vans can get kind of stinky.
Yeah. We've done a few in the van. We've done a few in buses, bandwagon, stuff like that. It really, it's all just
But, you know, the vans really bring you guys closer together, right?
They do. Like,
You really get to know a person.
Honestly, like, most of us prefer the van.
Almost
too
much.
Yeah.
I mean, see that.
Was it one of those great, like, 70s style, the shaggin' wagons with the nice carpet and everything?
I wish it
was. I live in a van down by the river.
That would be my favorite part, actually. No, it's just, like, a generic, like, 15-passenger van. But, like, I don't know. I love it. We all love it because it's, like, we can do whatever we want, you know? Like, that was always on the road whenever I would convince the guys, like, we need to go a hockey game, you know, Minnesota, whatever, tonight. That would be the easiest way. Like, if you're in a bus or anything else, you can't drive, you know, wherever you want.
Yeah.
You're in a van, you can just be like, who wants to go to the game tonight?
White
Everybody
Castle.
Jump in. Yeah. Jump in and let's go, you know. Yeah.
Right.
Now, you guys are signed with Red Bull Records. How long how long has that been going down for?
For about 3 years now.
3 years now?
Yeah.
You guys had a video went viral.
Mm-hmm.
You rocked out at the Newport in Columbus with Stinger.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
That was kind of like our manager, Tom, over here and myself. 21 Pilots did it with Brutus from, you know, the
They did
guys.
It at the LC, right?
Yeah, they did it at the LC. And we thought that was pretty cool, but, like, you know, like, we enjoy OSU, but a lot of us, we just love the Blue Jackets, you know? And I was like, Tom, just, you know, Hail Mary play, leap of faith, just see if Stinger would be into it. And he was super into it. Actually, he almost played drums at that part because I guess he's, like, a pretty good drummer.
Yeah.
Which is what we were like, that would be awesome.
You go Nationwide Arena, he carries that drum around
with
him. So, I mean, he has plenty of practice.
I've had plenty of times where he'll just start, I'll be sitting there and just goes off right by my head.
I don't think he's ever been off on a beat, so
not once.
He's never been off. Fans have been off.
I kind of missed the giant bass drum, though, that he used to bring out. He only brought it out for like one season and it disappeared.
I remember that. Yeah, I do remember that. It was very brief, though. It was almost like a brief mascot that we used to have, but we're not allowed to mention.
Yeah, I will mention him, Boomer.
Yeah.
He lives inside of us.
Yeah, he lives inside of us.
So great. I love that so much.
Oh, I love Boomer's the man. I don't know why they got rid of him.
It was sketchy. We found out it wasn't really him. He made an appearance during Halloween on Highball.
Oh, really?
Yeah. there was a guy there, and I was just kind of like, what the heck? So
that's awesome.
All right, so next thing I want to bring up, something we talked about earlier. You know, it's kind of been a goal to go and see every NHL arena. Obviously, I'm not going to be able to make it out to Rexall before they close it down, but you guys had a chance to play in that arena.
Yeah.
If I'm mistaken, you guys were on tour with Slipknot.
Yeah, we did a tour with Slipknot and Suicidal Tendencies, one of my all-time favorite bands. And some of the shows went to, like, NHL arenas in Canada.
Yeah, Winnipeg, Calgary, Edmonton.
Yeah, yeah. Right. I was hoping it would go to some of the states, but
yeah,
luckily we didn't, or else I probably would have gotten in trouble trying to, you know, sneak around in there. Yeah.
Right.
But, yeah, we got to see, you know, the MTS Center, the Saddle Dome, and, I mean, Rexall is, like, incredible. I've never seen the Gretzky statue in person, so, like, just getting a picture taken with it was, like, you know, a little bucket list, yeah. You know, scratch that off.
Definitely. I mean, it's the great one.
Yeah,
you
I mean, you can't. It's him and Gordie Howe. Like, when we were talking about this earlier, when I saw the Gordie Howe statue at the Joe, just it's like that is a monument to, you know, one of the greatest players. You got to just, like.
Now, you're out there in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've seen pictures. Now, you're definitely rocking the Blue Jackets gear, right?
I was. Unfortunately.
Did you get booed?
No. Oh, no, actually, it was funny. Find random Blue Jackets fans in Canada.
Oh, really?
And, like,
wow.
Yeah, because there was a couple other shows where, like, we played in Minnesota. It wasn't a hockey arena, but I was, you know, wearing the jersey and stuff. The only place where it wasn't very welcome was, and this was on a tour that we did right before that one, but we played in Boston, and I was wearing
their fans aren't welcoming anywhere.
No.
Yeah, when they were here just like a week or two ago, they weren't the greatest people either.
So, I mean.
No, they were not.
It's always more like funny, like, prodding than anything. I haven't got someone that's been like a jerk.
Yeah, it's crazy though, like, because of us being on Twitter, how many Blue Jackets fans we randomly get interacted with that are up in Canada, even some overseas and like Germany and stuff too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, there's a lot of teams in Ohio, professional sports teams. Mm-hmm. And you got the Browns, Bengals, Reds, Indians, Crew. You know, your allegiance with the Blue Jackets. Tell us about that. Obviously, you know, you're a big Jackets supporter, and you get behind them, and you're rocking the jerseys on stage. You know, why is it that you want to rep the Jackets, you know, not some other teams around?
I mean, for me, I just love hockey. Like, I grew up loving hockey. It's just, it's in my blood, you know, and it's, I didn't have it, like, I am not originally from Columbus, but I am from Ohio, and when I moved here was also the first year that the Blue Jackets were a team here. So it was just so cool to have my own, like, hometown team for once, you know, because before I was, like, a Devils fan and a Blackhawks fan. It's like, you know, I didn't.
Now, did you ever go to chill games back in the day?
I didn't.
You didn't?
Oh, okay. I was, like, a little too young at the time, and, you know, like, the first one I got to go to was a Jackets game. We played the Wild, and I think we won, like, 4-1 or something like that.
Nice.
But it was like 2004, maybe. Okay. That was my first Jackets game that I got to actually go to. But I don't know, man. Like, through winning, losing, whatever, playoffs or no playoffs, it's just, like, I love having, a hometown team.
Yeah.
You know?
And now, like, in the 15, 16 years the Jackets have been here, all the players we've had, who's your guy that, you know, you've been a fan of?
Out of all the
Out of all the guys, yeah. I'm talking, you
my
know.
My favorite is Vermette.
Vermette?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's solid. I like Vermette.
Yeah.
Antoine Vermette, the French sensation.
Yeah, that was a hard one for everybody to let go that year when we traded him.
I was genuinely sad, but, like, you know, he's gone on to just be great, you know, in Arizona. And I loved getting him – seeing him lift a Stanley Cup with the Hawks. That was a great feeling.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, he and who was it? Hartsey's best friend got to
Teeminen.
Teeminen. Yeah, they both got the cup first thing. Like, Taves got it and handed it right to those two guys.
Yeah.
I was like, that was perfect.
Yeah,
and I just love that, you know, he immediately just it's a testament to how good he is as a player, but, like, when he went to the Blackhawks, he was just right in there, like, from the start. So.
Yeah. Oh, man, he like, during the playoffs, he was lethal.
Yeah.
He was the third, fourth line center, and he was just great. Like,
just crushing it.
Yeah, and, because we all have our own. Now, I got to ask you, what's coming up?
For us?
Yeah, what's coming up for
Beartooth? Shameless plug time. Go
ahead. No, you're fine.
Is it Grizzly Moeller? Is that it? No, I'm just kidding.
I wish. That's a way cooler name.
Grizzly Moeller.
We're going to put out our next album soon. Like, Disgusting was our first one. We put it out 2 years ago.
Which is amazing, by the way.
Thank you. And yeah, I mean, we've been working on it, and we're ready to put it out. Like, we're really excited about it. So,
yeah.
I just want people to hear it, and I want to play some new songs. You know, we've been playing the same songs for three years now.
I mean, the thing is, too, you're a hockey fan, you're a Blue Jackets fan. So, in other words, we're kind of telling anybody listening right now that if you guys don't go and listen to their music or maybe get the new album when it comes out, you're not a real hockey fan.
You're not. Exactly. How about this? You're not a real fifth liner.
That's fine with me.
You're not a real fifth liner. No.
We're all about shameless plugs and, exactly. and stuff like that on this podcast.
We push our personal Twitters all the time. We're trying to get those follower count up.
You got to get up. You know?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if we can compete with them. I mean, like, if
you guys have the blue check mark and everything. We've got nothing over here.
Yeah, we got nothing.
Little guys.
Now, I have a question. If we asked you politely, would you do a Blue Jacket theme song?
Probably. Honestly,
we will come in and do backup vocals.
You
if
guys
you need
should
it.
You guys should just do the new goal.
You cannot
song
do
for
Justin Bieber sounds on his record.
I will sing harmony.
That's the thing. Is like every game. Okay, like for a while, the team came out to a song by a band, August Burns Red, and they're really good friends of ours. So for us, like if we're at games, we just like take videos of it playing, send it to them, be like. They're putting you guys in a game, stuff like that. Yeah. So it's always cool to, like, hear our friends and stuff get played at Jackets games. But, you know, we're just shooting. Hopefully we get a song on there at least once, you know.
I think we can make that happen.
Just for that hometown feeling.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, like we are the fifth line, kind of like an anthem or something. Yeah. Like, get everybody kind of going.
Get everybody pumped, you know, in the arena right before the team comes out.
Oh, man, that'd be a dream come true for us, though.
Well, I mean, it's almost like, you know, like when we hear Machine Head on the radio, it's almost like kind of like our song.
Yeah.
Even though some people don't like it, Dennis Kelly.
So I take it the next Twitter campaign is to have everybody go on and start tweeting at the CBJ DJ to play some Beartooth.
I would love that.
We'll do it. We'll make it happen. We'll get people
tweeting.
My favorite,
the way it starts out is the line.
Oh, yeah.
I love how the line starts out. It just hits you, and you're like, okay, I'm ready to break something. Let's go.
And that's the thing. We were like, hey, if they want to come out to it, just let us know. We're down. You know?
But, we're talking with Taylor from Beartooth Band. Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk more Puck with Taylor. And, you know, no trades went down, but we'll talk, you know, we'll give our thoughts on that.
Yeah,
what are you talking about? We made like 10 of them.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, today was a record-breaking day.
Yeah, we were sellers, remember? We were sellers.
We were selling, I don't know what we were selling, but all
right. We were selling jerseys
Girl
and
Scout
shirts.
Cookies, something, yeah. I don't know.
But yeah, we'll be right back right here on the Fifth Line Podcast.
Up on the mountain, I see down below. It's easy to lose yourself, I know.
Welcome back into the Fifth Line Podcast. We are not live, but live from the Buffalo Wild Wings on Lane and High on the Ohio State campus. We're, of course, joined here by Taylor from Beartooth Band.
I'm just curious, does it ever kill you because you're a Bobcat that you got to constantly Ohio State?
No,
you can't throw out your OU, OEA stuff?
I'm a Buckeye at heart. See, that's the thing. I'm born and raised in Central Ohio. I just went to OU because they have a better communication school.
Yeah.
That's what I did.
I'm a trailblazer.
You're OCU.
OCU.
OCU. Did you get your education degree yet?
Yeah. I have an associate's.
Oh, okay.
But I owe them too much money, so Jackets, hint, hint.
We need bigger royalty checks.
I don't think scholarships were part of our contract.
They should be.
Now, obviously, you're on the road a lot, Taylor. Yeah. You guys are back for a couple weeks, I hear.
Yeah.
Can you catch the games while you're on the road? Like, how do you watch it? How do you stay on top of the Blue Jackets action?
For me, Reddit has like a.
So you're saying you don't follow the CBJ Artillery Twitter account and the live up game tweets?
For Twitter and stuff like that, I think I follow every single possible thing I can related to
the Just making sure.
Which is hilarious for game day stuff because anytime there's a goal or a penalty, there's like four different tweets all
That's
at
what
once
my,
about
my
it.
Feed looks like.
I love it. But no, for like watching the games, I usually use, like, there's subreddits and stuff.
There's a Blue Jackets Reddit, right?
Yeah, but there's one dedicated to NHL streams that'll help you find any game that you're looking for. And on the road, like, I'm usually just sitting in a corner or in the back of our van or bus or whatever, watching it on my phone.
Yeah.
But, yeah, usually I'm either streaming it or at a bar or restaurant somewhere arguing with somebody to put the game on.
See, so all of our listeners, you guys hear that? For those of you that are at home and can't manage to catch the games at times and stuff, this guy's on the road performing, you know, night in, night out, and he still finds ways, even if he has to huddle on his own somewhere to watch the game.
There have been a few times where we'll go on stage while the game is on, and whoever's on my side of the stage, sometimes it's Tom, our manager here, but I always ask whoever's on my side of the stage to show me the scores, like while we're it'll be like in between songs, and I'll walk up, take like a swig of water, and be like, what's the score? What period are we in?
That's awesome.
I remember the first game we won of this season, we were on stage when it happened, but I walked over and Tom was there and he showed me the score of the game and it had 2 minutes left or something. I was just like, and the rest of the show was great for me.
Yeah.
I was just like, yes, we won. Like, funny. I'm happy.
So not the season we're wanting right now. We'll jump into the trade stuff. You know, what's your take right now on the whole season, how it's developed? You know, it's been kind of rocky, been kind of rough. We're turning it on now, Blake, which is nice. We're doing the typical Jackets thing, you know, last place for the majority of the season. Then, you know, they light a fire. And
now
them,
just
and
now right back
winning.
Up in the middle, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
They're going to get us.
Yeah, we noted the last 3 months of the year are usually known as Prozac months.
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're only 10 points out of the playoffs.
Yeah, we're not mathematically eliminated. I think we need to win, 16 or 17 of our last couple of games, you know, to make the playoffs. It's not impossible.
Not impossible.
But it's a stretch.
Highly improbable.
But yeah, I mean, your take. I mean, we were talking off air about John Tortorella and you know what you think about him. Just kind of what's your take on the season? And
I love him, man. I mean, I think he was the best possible coach that could have come in to fill a Todd Richards' spot. I mean, Richards was great. His system obviously worked really well. You know, I mean, he led us to our first playoff series. Our first playoff series where we actually won.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I enjoyed the way his system worked, but I like Tortorella's better because he's making the players put in the work to be on the ice.
Right,
you know?
The accountability's there. That's what I think everybody loves that. Because, I mean, you don't want to go to a job and somebody's pulling half their weight and you're pulling the whole thing.
Yeah.
There's accountability there. So I agree with you totally.
So a dream situation might be if the offseason comes up and maybe we have a vacancy and Todd Richards is not a head coach somewhere yet. Couldn't we just get him as one of our associate head coaches?
That'd be great.
I agree with you on that, but
I don't see how that would work.
Yeah, once you've had that much tenure as a head coach, it's hard to go back down to that unless it's one of your buddies. Like, I can see him going to Buffalo to help Bilsma out. Oh, so
that was a really good setup. Right
there. Yeah. We're currently watching the Blue Jackets game right now at B Dubs, and they put it on net. They're putting it on net right now, and Nicky's finding his flow.
So today was the NHL trade deadline, and man, oh man, was it eventful.
Let's put an emphasis on the word dead.
For
real.
Well, hey, Alex Tanguay, I didn't even know he still played hockey, got traded, so.
Yeah.
Immediately when I woke up, I got on my phone and was just, laying in bed, looking all right, who's gone, who's here, what's going on? And it was literally a ghost
Nothing.
Town.
Well, yeah, from every perspective, every team, everywhere just about, it was just so dead.
Yeah, it was very boring.
Last year that we had 24 trades on trade deadline day, which was one of the higher amounts in a while.
Yeah.
And today we had, maybe 10, if that.
Yeah, I think
obviously. Go ahead. Sorry.
Last year, I think wasn't it the highest number of trades on deadline day since 2008 or 2007 or something like that? It was crazy.
I thought the funny thing I saw today on Twitter was obviously it's no secret Scott Hartnell was a big trade rumor for Columbus, and I saw Aaron Porchline tweeted that Scott Hartnell told him to tweet, tell everyone I'm on the ice for practice this morning.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, it's just
I love Hartnell.
Oh, I do
think
too.
He's great.
He has the big man crush Matt does on Hartnell.
Well, no, he's my best friend.
Oh, that's right. He's your best friend. We established this in a previous podcast.
That was my first question to him when we had him on the podcast was, I said, will you be my best friend? He went absolutely.
Without
hesitation. But I will
that's
tell you.
Awesome.
Have you talked to him since?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I talked to him at the Cannonball. He's like, hey, what's up, buddy? How's the podcast?
That's awesome.
And so he was really cool with me. But Yarmo today was Yarno today.
Yeah.
He was like, no. Like, I know he fielded phone calls. And this is what he said when I was watching the after deadline show with Jody and Bob McKelligan. He said, everybody wanted our young guys. Mm-hmm. They didn't want our vets. They wanted what we had in the Lake Erie Monster system.
Yeah.
Which I agree with him. We don't want to give up pieces that we believe that are going to come up here and do damage.
Yeah.
You got. I mean, I know people were asking about Josh Anderson, Dylan Hetherington. They want those pieces for later. And Yarmo's staying pat, and I like it. You know, I like it. He's sticking to his guns.
Another thing Taylor and I were talking about earlier before we started the show was that it wasn't really an ideal market for some of the sellers, because you looked at guys like Florida, they wanted like a second or a third for one of the guys they traded, and they settled on a sixth.
Yeah.
Yarmo's not the kind of guy that, while we need the cap space, he's not going to settle for much less than, you know, what we could get out of the guys, which is why...
Especially when we're, you know, looking to get rid of some very good players, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you don't just give up a guy that's one of your leading scorers on the team for, you know, a late round pick and that's it, just to clear cap space.
No, absolutely.
And I agree. We should. I mean, we don't just pull the trigger to pull the trigger. You know, just so we could be in the talk, because we've done that in the past. I think we did that maybe a couple trades ago, way back on the trade deadline, and it backfired on us.
Yeah.
Because New York now has a few players for a certain player that we had that are doing incredibly well for them right now, and they're major pieces of their franchise.
Yeah. One other highlight real quick from the trade deadline was on Twitter. You guys remember the old former Jacket, Mike Commodore?
His tweets were amazing.
Yeah, we're going to keep this on the PG level, but pack it was hashtag pack your crap.
Yeah.
He would tweet that out at players that were rumored to be on the trade block or that were traded.
It was incredible. And seeing all the other people, like, clicking on the hashtag and seeing all the other people getting in on it, it was hilarious. I loved every second of it.
Yeah, well, today was unpack your crap.
Yeah.
It was, like, today was unpack your crap.
Oh,
and, like,
that's great.
I even said, like, on my tweet, I said, most reliable source during the 2016 trade deadline, Mike Commodore.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the one thing that he didn't respond back to me, but I did tweet at him, and I said, since we finally finished off paying off your buyout for your contract, did you ever come back and get your crap? Of course, he didn't respond to that one.
Oh, no, he probably just was like, I will skim right over that one. I didn't see it. I don't know what's going on.
Maybe one day he'll be part of the press. Maybe he'll be the next Jeremy Roenick.
I don't know, because if you put him in any situation where he's covering any team that is coached by Mike Babcock, it would not end well.
Probably not a fan, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. But at the same time, I think he would be like, he'd be a fun plug to have in an NHL, TV cast of some sort.
I love Jody Shelley.
He's doing phenomenal.
Doing Jackets games.
He's doing a great job. Yeah. I love when he's in between the bench.
Yeah.
He just always has a little smirk on his face. I love when he starts talking.
I got to meet him at one of the games that I went to a while ago, and I was really excited about it. But also, when I finally saw him in person, I was just like, a little intimidated. Like, hi, nice to meet
Please
you.
Please don't punch me.
I feel like he broke my hand a little bit when I shook his hand, and I was just like.
He's the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah, he was very nice. Yeah. Very nice.
I was going to say, like, the last couple times I've had a couple friends with me, and they've seen him out in public. Yeah. They're like, ooh, I want to get a picture with Jody. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, can you just go up and ask him? They're like, no, I'm intimidated. So I have to be the guy to initiate, hey, Jody, hey, she wants a picture with you.
Yeah.
I met him one time, and it was when the fifth line blew up, and we were in the Blue Jackets front office, and I was introduced to Jody Shelley. Like, hi, what's up? I'm Jordan. And then I saw him on the concourse like a couple weeks later. He passed me. He's like, hey, Jordan, how you doing? I'm like,
yeah.
You meet probably hundreds of people a day. How do you remember that? I thought that was a pretty cool moment.
I caught him at a Clippers game this year, and he's like, hey, just sit down with me. I was like, okay. He's like, yeah, Matt, just sit right here. And I'm like,
that's awesome.
It's me by first name. So now, I would have never dreamed that 10 years ago. I'm like, I'm just a guy.
Yeah. I think I maybe, like, sputtered to get my name out when I met him. So he'll probably be like, weird guy? I don't know.
he'd probably be like, I like your tattoo.
Yeah.
So
we got it. We did have a big trade today.
About to
there was a trade. We traded in Boone Jenner's 3-year entry-level deal for a new 2-year extension.
Yeah.
Amen.
I'm considering it a trade because everything else was so
for
boring.
Real.
Well, we were all fake traded last night at one point.
Yeah,
Twitter.
I got traded to Jersey.
I think a lot
Jersey.
Of people just don't like us here or something. They're trying to trade us away.
I think they want us to go down, and we're not.
Yeah,
we're still here.
All I know is if anybody would have actually shown up to my game last night that I was in, GMs would not be calling for me. I played an awful game.
Oh, that's too rough.
But Boone Jenner signed to a 2-year contract extension. I love Boone. I think for me it goes Hartnell Boone. Mm. I mean, the what he brings to the game is just on a whole other level.
He's a throwback. There's not a whole lot of players that play like him anymore. That's why I love the like you're right. That's why you love him.
Yeah.
I love him. He skates hard. He hits really hard, and he scores goals. You know, that's what you couldn't ask for more from a guy his size with that offensive talent. Like, he's one of the best forecheckers that I think we have, him and Dubinsky. You know, they're just great players all around.
Yeah, that's why he has that A on his sweater.
We also need to start the campaign to get Boone's mom to move to Columbus. Yes. Every time she's in town for a game, he scores a goal. without fail. I even asked him about it, and I asked him in front of his other teammates while we were at the cannonball thing, and even they said, "Yeah, your mom needs to come move it to town. She can go bunk with you for a little while until she finds a place."
He bunks with Murray, right?
Maybe we get some more.
I don't believe they're roommates anymore.
Oh, they split that.
If we get some more of his family members, can get some hat tricks. You know, more in there.
Bring as many as whoever's
whatever equates to a goal.
When his family members come out, though, there's been times where it's been his mom and his aunt are usually the usual suspects.
His
but
aunt.
He's had like cousins and other family members come out in big groups.
Yeah.
Oh, they're the nicest family.
That's
ever.
Awesome.
And if you ever get a chance to hang out with the Jenner family at our bar. That's even funner. Like, trust
funner?
I'm making up words. I don't care.
You're from NERC. You're allowed.
I'm allowed. NERC or high.
You know what we could do because of that terrible, terrible grammar and, you know, your guys' other favorite sport? We could always give you your special NASCAR moment.
Yeah!
Oh, man. Boogity, boogity, boogity segment.
Yeah, the boogity, boogity, boogity.
So, without further ado.
Cue the music.
Yeah, we present you this.
This is the obligatory 30 seconds of NASCAR talk with Jordan Go Fast Mills and Matt Turn Left Pfeffer.
So NASCAR Daytona 500 2 weeks ago, closest finish in NASCAR history. Denny Hamlin, Martin Truex Jr.
Let me tell you, his car was great the entire day.
The whole weekend he was phenomenal.
Oh my gosh! And there was nobody that was going to stop him. Now I will tell you this. Now that we know our boy Ryan Neff from Miss May I, we have
Ryan Blaney is the guy.
Blaney loves NASCAR.
I sense your enthusiasm there.
Oh yeah. Every time, him and I hang out pretty regularly when he's home. So every time we hang out, that's all he talks to me. I'm like, all right, man. Well, I'll take you to a Blue Jackets game. Take me to a race.
I will show you my text from him. We were going back and forth. And it was like we were like, oh man, no, did you see that? You see that? Ryan Blaney is playing, and Chase Elliott. And I will give you this. My boy Bubba Wallace is tearing up Xfinity right now.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really excited for the future of NASCAR. But
There's a lot of great drivers out this year. A great crop of young guys coming up.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I think your 30 seconds are up.
All right. I'll throw one more thing. One more thing.
Longer.
The Atlanta race this past Sunday, the most boring guy in NASCAR won, Jimmy Johnson. Can't stand him.
I know, and I hated that. I predicted that too.
Yeah.
That was the obligatory 30 seconds of NASCAR talk. We now return to our regularly scheduled recordings.
All right. Hey, you know what? We have to ask because this is something. It's finally back on, and we used to talk about it every show. Are you a Walking Dead fan?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did you guys watch this past?
Yes, I did.
I did. Well, we will not spoil.
We will not spoil last week's episode.
But
you haven't seen it.
It's been a thing of ours that we always ended up. And we always talked about. For some reason, I don't remember how the conversation came up, but Matt's like our Glenn. I guess.
Okay. I just seem to survive.
I can see that. Yeah.
I'm Glenn. I just seem to survive no matter what. And I have a hot girlfriend.
Do you have a hot girlfriend?
He's a lovable guy.
I have many hot girlfriends.
Oh,
I'm just kidding.
Okay. Gotcha.
I am polygamous and I live in Utah.
Polygamist?
But I mean, that makes sense. You're a nice guy. You're a lovable guy. You know, like.
How much did Matt pay you to say those nice things about him?
No, he already knows this.
I just get that vibe right off the bat, you know?
Oh, yeah. You need to go get those vibes checked out. They might be broken.
Like a long time ago, we had a podcast where we would have our ideal person. Like, if it was a hockey player, who would be your ideal person to have in a post-zombie apocalypse?
Obviously Blue Jackets, we want it. You know.
Yeah, we asked the players a lot about that, too. Like, if there was one person you had to survive the apocalypse with, that was one of their teammates, who would it be?
Okay. From the Jackets, man, probably Sod. He's very fast, and he's. Okay. I feel like he's got a little bit of fire under there, you know, like
but if
take it out on some zombies.
But if he's too fast, what if he leaves you behind and then you become the bait?
They'll just follow him, you know. Like, I'm not too appealing to zombies, I feel like.
I would put a string around him and ride a skateboard and just run him.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Now, what about a bandmate? Which one would you want to survive the apocalypse with?
A bandmate.
Probably our drummer, Brandon. He's in really good shape. You could probably help me carry a bunch of stuff around. I don't know.
I mean, you could sharpen down, you know, twiddle down the drumsticks into weapons or something too.
That's
true. Throw some cymbals, stuff like that.
I could see you like having a machete at the end of like a bass or a guitar.
Yeah.
Like just like cut people with that. So I could see that would be a good pairing.
Yeah. And I think
hand combat, everything.
With Sod in there, I think you could whip a couple of those backhands and take some zombies out with them.
Yeah.
Those things are accurate.
Yeah, just change out the toe of the stick for a blade or something.
Yeah,
like
Sod
exactly.
needs to do a clinic with the whole team how to do the backhand.
Maybe with the whole NHL.
Yeah,
I don't know. He could make some great
money on that.
I don't know if you want to show the whole NHL yet.
That's true, yeah. You don't want to give
away
our
team.
Just our team.
Yeah, we don't want to give away our secrets. But hey, Taylor, man, we appreciate you coming on the Fifth Line Podcast. Hope you had a good time.
Do
you have any shows
us,
coming up in Columbus anytime?
Not anytime soon.
Nothing
now.
Soon? Okay.
But the next one that's the closest is in some enemy territory we're playing in Pittsburgh.
He said the P word.
So how much does it cost us for you to pull out of that show?
I don't know. I'll have to look at the contract. But
well, according to Thomas, it's already sold out. Is that correct?
Nice.
Yep.
Oh, wow. Well,
I'm not paying you guys back for all those tickets that they bought just
I'm
so
just
you guys don't go.
Go out on that stage with a nice Blue Jackets jersey.
Hey, you know what? If before you guys leave, maybe I should loan you my autographed Doobie jersey. That'll really win over some fans there.
Oh, I would love
it. He is number one enemy in Pittsburgh.
I would actually throw up the picture of him beating up Crosby from last year. Just throw it up on the big screen behind
you.
I wish we could. That'd be great.
Do that.
It's like, oh.
Maybe just put it on a Pittsburgh-only shirt that we sell at the show. We're not going to sell any, but put it on the shirt.
That would be amazing. We got a fight breaking out on TV.
Jared Bull's first game back in a while, and he's already in a fight.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
Yeah, man, thanks for joining us. Make sure you give these guys a follow, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, any other social media outlets you guys got.
No, that's pretty much
three.
At at Beartooth Band.
Make sure you guys go check out their album and stay tuned for the new one.
Yep.
Watch your YouTube videos. They're actually, you guys' videos are actually really good.
Thanks, man.
I really enjoy them.
It's nice to have you know, some videos that you can look at and not be embarrassed.
Yeah, next time bring Red Bull.
No, oh, absolutely.
We might need it. Who knows?
All right, so for the Fifth Line Podcast, I'm Matt. I'm not Matt.
Whoa.
He's Matt. He's TJ.
Are
I'm
you
Jordan.
Drunk?
I might be. I don't know. But thanks for joining us here on the Fifth Line Podcast. We'll see you guys next time. We're gonna keep on living. Keep on living.